Moshe Akiva Brandeis.
This week is Parsha Shiro. And Parsha Shiro means, of course, that we have the Oz Yosher in the Parshas HaShavua, the Oz Yosher that we read every single day. The Shiro that Klal Yisrael sang upon exiting, upon coming out of the Yam Suf. And what's very interesting is that it takes 17 psukim until the Torah tells us that Vayosha Hashem Bayem Ahu, that Hashem redeemed them, Hashem delivered Klal Yisrael on that day. And it's very interesting, because for 17 psukim, the Torah has already told us that Klal Yisrael are going to be saved. It starts with Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hisyatzvu Ru'u. You'll come and see us, Yeshuas Hashem, Hashem will save you from the Mitzrayim. And then Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, lift up your stick above the water. Says the Ibn Ezra, why should you lift your stick above the water? So that people shouldn't say that the stick had magical powers or it was a very strong stick. And because you put it into the water split. So lift it above the water. So everybody should see that it's completely happening from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And then the Yam Suf splits. And then the Yam Suf does split, and Klal Yisrael go into the dry land, which was once the Yam Suf, between the walls of water. And then once again, as they come up on the other side, Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up his stick, and once again, with the Mitzrayim who are into the water, perhaps the biggest miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayim actually went into the Yam Suf. If you think about it, you see a miracle in front of your eyes. Hashem is saving his people. You are the enemy. What makes you think that the miracle is going to be for you? But the Ribbono Shel Olam put a shtus, put a foolishness into the minds of the Mitzrayim. And in they go into this dry land which was once the Yam Suf. And they follow Klal Yisrael. And then once again, Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up his stick on the other side of the Yam Suf. And the waters come crashing down onto the Mitzrayim. And then the Mitzrayim are then in the water, Vayinaher, Vayinaher. The Ribbono Shel Olam mixed them like a chalent pot. He took all the Mitzrayim and Paroi, and he mixed them, and they're all going to and fro, and he gives them extra chiyus, extra life, so that they should be able to live long through this ordeal, something they deserved after all the atrocities they had caused to Klal Yisrael. And finally, the Mitzrayim are spat out of the other side of the Yam Suf. Klal Yisrael sees this, and only then does the Torah tell us, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Hahu. Really, we started by saying this is Parsha Shira. And I ask you, I would have thought Parsha Shira should be last week. They already left Mitzrayim last week. This is Kriyas Yam Suf and coming out of the Yam Suf, and then they sang Shira. Why did they not sing Shira when they first came out of Mitzrayim? Sorry? Because? They're still frightened of the Mitzrayim. Oh. Right, so that. So I won't be arguing with you, but we'll explain it with a little bit of halacha. Reb Chaim Brisk Zokt, this is Mipi Hashmo, I heard this from Reb David Soloveitchik, he says over from his grandfather Reb Chaim that Klal Yisrael actually had a halachic din of avodim. They were actual slaves. They weren't just enslaved by the Egyptian Empire and by Paroi, but rather they were actually halachic slaves. They were avodim. Furthermore, in the Proshas Drachim, he writes that we find in Parshas Re'eh by the mitzvah ha'anokah, where you've got the chiyuv, the obligation to give an eved ivri presents and give him money or whatever it is that you want to give him when he goes away. Hanik tanik loy, be very generous with your presence as the Eved Ivri leaves the period of slavery that he had with you. And it's interesting that the Pasuk says there, Vizocharta, why should you do this? So like many other mitzvahs we find, Vizocharta ki Eved hayisa be'eretz Mitzrayim. And you should remember that you also want an Eved. And therefore what? Therefore you should give presents, says Rashi, in Parashas Re'eh. Because just like I gave you presents when you left Mitzrayim, there was Bizas Hayom, there were the spoils of the Egyptians that came spitting out of the Yam Suf, and Klal Yisrael was able to take it all. There was the Sholol. There was much bounty for Klal Yisrael to take from the Mitzrayim. So just like I was generous with you when you ended your slavery period, so too when an Eved Ivri leaves, you should also be generous with the Eved Ivri and make sure he goes away plentiful.
Don't stand, why were they proper Avodim?
They were in Din. They were Avodim in Din.
Why?
Why? That's, you have to look at the Dvar of Rom, Simon Aleph, for that.
Yeah.
He says that Alidei Kibush, Alidei, through, even if an individual...
But they didn't buy them, they cheated.
Even if an individual, against the will of a person, takes ownership of him, it's considered Kibush Mulchama, although there's no war. His father, the end, argues with him in the countries at the back, Ein Shom, Betimtzo Nachas. Sorry? Why not? Well, Hashem took us out. Hashem took us out of the ownership of Pari, but nevertheless, it was... They were Avodim, but Hashem took them out. So how did they become Meshuchar, you mean? Oh, how did they acquire their freedom? How did they acquire their freedom? So we're gonna get to that point. It's a good point. So the Chanukah Satorah, the Rebbe of the Shach, Reb Heschel, says a beautiful idea. He says, the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph that an Eved who leaves before his time still has to make up his time. He owes the years to his master. And so, Klal Yisrael, who really were under a 400-year slavery period, were leaving now after only 210. And so, in Halacha, they should have been making up these years. So it wasn't very exciting to leave Mitzrayim. Because it's either us or our children or grandchildren going to have to make up these years. So it's not so exciting to leave Mitzrayim. So there was no Shira upon exiting, upon leaving Mitzrayim. However, after they come through the Yam Suf, they've now exited the Yam Suf. They're on dry land once again, real dry land, no water on each side. Now, what happened? The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Zayin, the same Gemara, that if the Adon dies, if the master dies, you don't owe him anything. Then you're free to go. And so, at this point, by Yosha Hashem, true, they've left Mitzrayim and they've gone through the Yam Suf and the waters come crushing down in the Mitzrayim, but only now, when they see Mitzrayim, says the Pasuk, continues the Pasuk, by Yosha Hashem, by Yimah, what do we say? Vaya Yisrael Mitzrayim Meis Asfasayom. Now that they see Mitzrayim Meis Asfasayom, they see the masters, the taskmasters, their masters, their owners, dead on the beaches, on the shores. Now, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Hahu, on that specific day, there was a delivery. Only on this day did they feel truly free. When they see the masters died, now we have no obligation, we don't owe anything to our masters, we're truly free to go, and now we can feel and sing the Shira as we should.
Paro stayed alive.
Sorry?
Paro stayed alive.
So Paro says the Medrash wrote a Shtar Shichrut to them. The Medrash actually writes that Paro wrote a document of freedom to the Klal Yisrael. This Shtar Medrash. You see, they were actual avodim, like Reb Chaim says, fits in with the Hanukkah, with the extra money they received, and only when their masters die, only then. Azizat the Chanukah Satera. Shein Pshat. So Yitzias Mitzrayim, as we've explained, and as we all know, there's so much more that happened there, was an epic display of Hashem's might. It was on colossal levels. There was all the makas that happened throughout their stay in Mitzrayim, the actual going out of Mitzrayim, the Kriyas Yam Suf. Why did Hashem make one period in history so fascinating? So many miracles, so amazing. So the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, explains why the Ribbono Shel Olam did this as a one-time thing. Hashem does miracles. There are nisim through the generations. But this was a one-time, unbelievable, massive display of Hashem's might. And he says that three times do we find a very similar pasuk. throughout the Yetzias Mitzrayim period. Once is in Kapitel Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches. It says, by Orov, when Hashem separated between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrayim, it says, Lema'an Teda, ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. So that you should know that I am the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why I'm splitting. I'm making divisions between the Mitzrayim. Their animals will die, and Klal Yisrael, whose animals will stay alive. And then we have Makas Barad, Lema'an Teda, ki Hashem ha'aretz. And then again in Makas Bechiris, Ba'avur Teda, ki ein kamoini. Says the Ramban, why is it three times that you should know that I am Hashem? He says there are three fundamentals of Emunah. And this is stage one of three that I'd like to speak about today, of bringing us from fundamental Emunah to practical Emunah and what it does for us. So stage one is that the Ribbono Shel Olam let us know that He is Hashem. There are three fundamentals. One is knowing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Mashkiach, knowing that Hashem takes care of every minutest and tiniest mosquito. Every tiny thing that happens is all Hashem. Point two is to know that Ribbono Shel Olam created the world and continues to create. Yotze Oir Uvoirei Choshech. We don't say He created light and darkness, but rather He creates. It's a continuous creation all the time. Thirdly, we know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is all-powerful. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Shalit, He's the Baal HaYecholes, He's all-powerful, all power is He. Let's expand a little bit on this Ramban. He says that the Orov, Borod, and Makas Bechiris are the times where Hashem says, Leman Tedas, you should know. Now, in Orov, it's when Hashem says, Vehiflesi, I will divide between the Mitzrayim and between Klal Yisrael. Meaning you're walking through the streets of Mitzrayim and you see one farm, all the animals dead. Terrible stench coming from the carcasses. And you see the neighboring fence. You see just over the fence another little farm. All the animals, you hear the noises, live and kicking. That is Hashkacha. That's where you see that Hashem looks after every individual, every decision is precise. And then in Kapitel Tes, Pasuk Chof Tes at Borod, when it says again, Leman Tedas, you should know that I am Hashem. What happened there? Hashem defied physics. Physics tells us that water and fire aren't the best of friends. You have a fire, you pour water on it, it gets extinguished. You put water on fire, the water evaporates. They're actually arch enemies. They don't get along at all. Each one tries to destroy the other. Says Ribbono Shel Olam, I created physics. Here, I will defy physics and create something called Barad. Ice balls with fire inside. And there's going to be missiles coming down onto the Mitzrayim, each one with an address. So Ribbono Shel Olam shows with that, I created physics, and I can change physics. So here you go, ice and fire getting along, coming down as missiles onto the Mitzrayim. Hashem created and continues to create the world. The same Hashem who said ice and fire don't get along says, for today you should. That was a display of Hashem's might and His creation, continuous creation of the world. You know, Stephen Hawking, he invented the Big Bang Theory, by the way. I say invented because it was an invention. And it's interesting to note, he's the big atheist, obviously. He says, all my explanations and all my descriptions and all my theories are on physics that exist. How the physics came into being is not my business. We call it God. He himself is saying, all my explanations are only from when the physical existed. Before that, I don't know. So whether it was noisy at Bria Sa'ilam, I don't know. It's his theory. I don't know. Even Adam Harishon wasn't there yet.
How is he atheist?
If we take note that the three times that the Ramban brings Leman Teda, where Hashem shows His Hashkocha, where He's taking care of every individual, every minutest detail, where Hashem shows that He is continuously creating with Borod, and thirdly by Makas Bechiris, where Hashem shows His all power, His might, by showing that He is the owner of life itself. Life itself is in His hands. Hashem, when He decides Makas Bechiris, all the firstborns will die. So He is all powerful. But the Loshon that the Torah uses in all these cases is a Loshon Yediyah, of knowledge. Now usually we translate Amunah as belief or faith. But the truth is, if we were standing here and someone told you, by the way, it's raining outside, you say, I believe you. If we're both standing outside together, if I was standing with you outside and we're getting wet from the rain and you said to me, it's raining, and I said to you, I believe you, that would be a wrong statement. I don't say, I believe you. I say, I know, I'm getting wet, it's raining. When we know something, we say, I know. Belief is when you tell me about something and I believe you that it's true. The Torah tells us as a result of these Nisim in Mitzrayim, there's knowledge for Klal Yisrael. We actually know that Hashem exists, Hashem creates, Hashem takes care of us, and that Hashem is all-powerful. It's knowledge, not just belief or faith. And it's a knowledge that Hashem showed us then. Hashem will not do these miracles for every individual who wants. He did it then in front of thousands or millions of people who witnessed these facts. And we share it with our children every Parashas B'Shalach and every Pesach. We're sharing these facts of history. And this knowledge gets passed on to the generations. And as we know, when our forefathers are able to have a certain character trait, work on themselves, and then have a character trait, it remains in the DNA, in the genes of Klal Yisrael. And so if the Yidden at Yam Suf actually felt, or actually knew, the existence of Hashem and the fundamentals of Emunah, it's something which remains through the generations. There was once a Rebbe who told his Hasidim that the local tailor will become very wealthy soon. And the Hasidim found it very difficult to believe because he was a poor fellow and he didn't have much business, not many people were using his services. And the Rebbe was telling him he's going to become a very wealthy man in the near future. And lo and behold, it took a little period of time and suddenly the tailor actually started making business. He's going up in the ranks and many people were taking contracts with him. And so the Hasidim were astounded, and obviously this Rebbe got a big name of being a Poel Yeshias and a Baal Moifus, and everyone came to him for brachas. You know, he has Ruach HaKodesh. So the Rebbe made a public announcement that wasn't Ruach HaKodesh. And he told the people, he said, I'll tell you what happened. I live next door, this tailor. And every Friday night, he makes kiddush, he washes, has fish, and he makes a l'chaim. But it's a very interesting l'chaim that he makes. He has two cups on the table. He fills up one with whiskey. The other one he leaves empty. The other one's for Hashem. He makes a l'chaim with Hashem. And every week, I hear, he's a simple tailor. Every week I hear him say to Hashem, l'chaim Hashem. Thank you so much for business this week. I'm going to continue with my ten kapitlach of Tehillim, which I do for you every day, and you continue by bringing me business every day. Chaim, he carries on with his Suda. This is what the Rebbe hears on a weekly basis. And then one day, the Lechaim changed a little bit. He hears the fellow saying, Hashem, Moshe just moved to the other village. I lost a client. You took away a client from me. So I'm only doing nine kapitlach from now on. That's it. We're down to nine. L'chaim. The next week, he says, old Yossel from the edge of the village, who used to bring you, Hashem, you killed him on me. He was one of my good clients. We're down to eight kapitlach tehillim. And as time continues, he was down to zero. And he said, so then, the last week, he said, Hashem, I'm not saying tehillim anymore. I haven't got any clients. I'm out of business. So, the deal's off. But the very next Shabbos, the Rebbe hears the following L'chaim. He says, Hashem, I thought it over, this is ridiculous. I'm going back to my ten kapitlach, I'll do my half of the deal, you do your half of the deal. I want to have parnasa. I want you to sustain me. Parnasa's from you, so please, and he pours his whiskey, makes a L'chaim with Hashem, and he says, we're back on track, I'm doing my ten kapitlach, and Hashem, you've got to bring me business, that's the deal. And when the Rebbe heard that, so later by the Tish, he announced to the island, the tailor's becoming wealthy. It's a simple story, and maybe it's not the type of business deals you want to be doing with Hashem. But let's, for a moment, take in what this tailor was doing. He had absolute knowledge. It's in his DNA to have knowledge that Hashem does everything in this world down to the most minutest detail of our lives. Because he didn't say, Yenna moved to the other village because of the chinuch of his children, because he had a better job opportunity. No, if Moshe moved to the next village, it's because Hashem took away my business. Every client that comes is because Hashem sent him. Every client that goes away, everyone that I lose, is because Hashem took him away. And when Yossel died, it wasn't from old age or illness. It's because Yossel was taken away by Hashem. I had a great client who was taken away by Hashem. So Hashem, I'm one down on the kapitla. He saw it as fact. It was knowledge to him. The most simple yid, if there is such a thing, has the knowledge that Hashem exists, continues to create, and takes care of every minutest detail of our lives. Many mitzvahs that we have are zeichel yetzias Mitzrayim. Of course, Pesach, the Yomim Tovim, even Shabbos, which is zeichel emase bereishis, the creation of the world, we also say in Kiddush that zeichel yetzias Mitzrayim. So many mitzvahs we do, whether it's tzitzis and tefillin, are zeichel yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's a knowledge that we're sharing with the generations. And this brings us to stage two of the three stages of the fundamentals of Emunah. And stage two is the souvenir stage. What do I mean souvenir? There was the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and all the amazing miracles that happened then. And then Klal Yisrael say in this week's parasha, Oz Yosher. And we know Oz Yosher is a future tense. They will sing. It should say, tell us what happened then. Then Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu sang the Shira. But no, they will sing. Dov Shtemach says an explanation on this. Because it's the song that will be sung through the generations. It's Oz Yosher. It's a song that we sing every day. It's the song of the generations. It's a song that they sang then for all generations to come to remember what happened, to have that knowledge and share it with our children. So it's a future song. It's a song that's taken as a souvenir through the generations. Avraham Avinu walked around saying, and he said to Hashem, Anochi afar va'efer. I am dust and I'm ashes. What was he referring to? Ashes, because he was in Nimrod's furnace. And he could have so easily been reduced to ashes. Afar, because he fought against the four mighty kings and their great armies, and he was just a few people. He could have so easily been reduced to a pile of dust. And so he says, Anochi. He doesn't say, Hashem, you saved me then. He says, I am a pile of dust. I am a pile of ashes. He's always going around with a souvenir of ashes and dust in his pocket, so to speak. That I could have been ashes and dust. This is not a low self-esteem of Avraham Avinu. This is, he's taking with him a souvenir. Hashem, you saved me then. And not just, I'm always grateful. Of course, that's important. I'm always grateful to what you did for me then. But just like you saved me then, I now know that you will always be there for me. Yaakov Avinu says, Ki b'makli avartis hayarden hazeh. Now, where was Yaakov Avinu standing when he said this? At the Yabuk, not at the Yarden. And he says, it was by the fight with Esav, when he was worried about Esav coming with his 400 men. And he says, Ki b'makli, for with my stick, I crossed this Yarden. This Yarden, who's at Yabuk? The answer is, Yaakov Avinu, having crossed the Yarden then, when Eliphaz came to start up with him, and he was almost killed, because Eliphaz was under command from his father to kill Yaakov Avinu, and he gave him all his possessions so that an oni, a poor man, is considered like a mace, is like a dead man, and so he got out with his life. And Yaakov Avinu forever remembers, Ki b'makli avartis hayarden hazeh. I crossed this Yarden. He's always walking around imagining the Yarden in front of him. In his mind's eye, he sees the Yarden always, that Yarden where Hashem saved him. And just like you saved me then, Hashem, you'll save me from Esav and anything else that crosses my path. And David HaMelech, when he fought the lion, and he took the jaw and the beard of the lion, he ripped it into two pieces. The Mefarshim say, he took the skin of the lion, and he cloaked himself with it. Why would he do such a thing? To forever remember that a lion started up with him, and even against a lion Hashem saved him. He was able to come out alive. And truly, when Shaul says that we need someone to fight Goliath, and David HaMelech offers to be the one to do this, And Shaul says, you're a little boy. He sees him. He's standing there. A little young lad. Nar. Redhead. A good looking little fellow, says the Pasuk. You can't fight this great Goliath, this mighty giant. So he says, Hashem delivered me from the hands of a lion and a bear. And just like he did it then, he will do it for me forever. And therefore I have the courage to stand against Goliath. Hu yatzilenu, he will save me from Goliath too. Just like he saved me from the lion and the bear. The common denominator between all these people was that they saw a time in their history. A time where Hashem saved them, where they thought everything was blocked. They were standing against a brick wall. There's no way forward. And we've all had times like that in our lives, where it seemed that there's no future. It's bleak. It's black. And at such a time, and you know what, we're still standing here today. Alive and well, Baruch Hashem. Avram, Yaakov, David, they all took those moments and carried it with them as a souvenir. Klal Yisrael's Shira stands with us. We sing it. It's the song of Klal Yisrael. The song we sing every single day. Oz Yosher. And when a person is able to concentrate on seeing the good, when a person is able to find the good moments in life, and therefore see that also in the future, things won't go wrong, it's a life of serenity. And it's interesting, yesterday, Siyata Deshmaya, when you prepare a speech, just yesterday morning, someone randomly shared with me something that Dr. Levinson told him. Now, I especially didn't ask Dr. Levinson if it's true, because I was scared he'd tell me I shouldn't say it in public. So, I'll tell you what he told me. He is a reliable person. And he told me, Dr. Levinson told him the following thing. He said, the NHS drives him a little bit crazy. And one of the things they are breathing down his neck about is that there aren't enough emotional problems amongst his patients. I'm sure there are some, but he says there aren't enough people that are being sent for psychiatric help, that are on medication. According to their statistics and numbers and calculations of what should be in society, there should be a higher number. And so when Dr. Levinson was sharing this with this fellow who told me, he said, go explain to them that we have something called emunah, that we have something called bitachem, that we rely on Hashem, that we've seen just like Hashem has saved us in the past. We say, so even when things look bleak and we don't know where to go, we know Hashem will always be there for us. Go explain that to them, so they're still breathing down his neck. When a person has the knowledge which we all have, it's in our DNA, and we take the souvenir with us, all the way from Klal Yisrael down to this very day, the souvenir of Emunah, and it carries us with us through the generations, through all times of our lives, it makes our life sweet. At the end of this week's parasha, it says, "Vayimtuku ha'mayim," when Moshe Rabbeinu makes the water sweet. They had bitter water and they didn't have what to drink. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, throw the stick into the water. "Vayimtuku ha'mayim." Now, grammatically it should say, "Humtuku ha'mayim," that they became sweet. What does yimtuku mean? Yimtuku is different to humtuku. If you take a coffee, a bitter coffee, and you put sugar into it, what have you done? You haven't made the drink sweet. You've drowned the bitterness of the coffee with sugar. That's not what happened here. When they threw this stick, when Moshe Rabbeinu threw this stick into this water, he didn't drown the bitterness of the water with the sweetness of a stick. The water actually became physically sweet. And that's why the Torah alludes to this by saying, "Vayimtuku hamayim." It was actually sweet water. It was to teach us this lesson. You can have a bitter puddle of water, but when the Ribbono Shel'olam comes into it, when his stick gets thrown into it, if it's a Torah life, Torah perspectives, Torah vision, if we're able to see with Torah vision, then the water won't just be a little sweeter, but it actually becomes physically sweet. We can look out of the window, and instead of seeing puddles and rain, we can think to ourselves and say, there's an abundance of rain. which keeps the Weetabix prices low, because they're very macbeth on local farmers. So with abundance of rain, you get an abundance of wheat, and the Weetabix prices can be stayed at a reasonable rate. So you have, we can see the world differently. We can enjoy puddles of water. We can enjoy nature. We can enjoy things that happen to us. And even when it seems difficult, we know that in reality it's coming from a good place. Like a person who looks through a peephole or the window of a theater, of an operation theater. And what he sees, he just sees hands with a knife cutting through someone's skin. And you want to scream, murderer! But with a little bit of seichel, you realize there's a doctor, and there's somebody who's ill. And through this operation, through this surgery, which will probably save his life, so it'll take 6 months of recuperation, and maybe another 6 months to a year of rehabilitation and physiotherapy, and then he'll be a healthier person than he was before. So even when things are difficult, we have a different way of looking at it with our Torah vision glasses. We have a different way of seeing things. We know that there's a purpose to everything that happens, and that it's Hashem behind all that happens. There's a popular song that people sing these days, which is "Va'afilu ba'astora." So I heard from one of the Mashpiyim in Eretz Yisrael. He said, we should say "Va'afilu ba'hatzlocha." In hard times, we all remember who to call. The chokhmah is "Va'afilu ba'hatzlocha," even when things are good and going well, to remember that it's all from Hashem. Then it's easier when things are difficult to see that it's really all good. We say in davening, in a volitzir, and also a siyata d'shmaya, this came to my mind yesterday morning in Shachris. You have an alerted mind to see what you can pick up for your upcoming speech. So I was saying a volitzir, and we say, it's a beautiful, beautiful tefillah, bracha, we say, Baruch Alekeinu Shibra'ana Lechvoidai. We say Hashem is blessed, Hashem is Baruch, for having created us for His honor. Vivdilonim in our time, He separated us from those who are off the path, who are mistaken. V'nosalana Torah Semes, He gave us a Torah. And we say all the beautiful things that Hashem did for us. But it's interesting what point we come to. What is all this for? So He created us for His honor, gave us the Torah, Hivdilonim min ha-Toyim, Nosalon Torah Semes, V'chayi Oilam Notav Yizchin, He gave us a purpose of life, He gave us a reason to live. L'ma'an, for what purpose? Yizamercha Chovid V'lo Yidoyim. So that we should sing the song of Hashem and never ever stop. The purpose of our life in this world is to see the good. Klal Yisrael have it in their DNA to see in what's happening around them the good. To see that all is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's an interesting story that is told of a fisherman. And this fisherman is standing with all his other friends, the fishermen. There's a businessman watching. And he sees how one of these fishermen leave before all the others. They all stay on till 6 o'clock in the evening. And he lives already at 3. So he says, let me ask you, why did you leave early? So he tells him, I'll tell you what it is. Everyone else stays on till 6. I like to go home. I take my sinora on a walk on the ocean. And then I play with my children at home a little bit. And then we have an early barbecue for supper. So he says, why don't you stay like your friends? So he says, because... He says, why would I stay with my friends? He says, I'll tell you why. If you go out till 6 o'clock... You'll get more fish. You stop when you have enough fish for the day. You'll have more fish and you can sell them to other people. And you can make a good profit. So, and then what will I do? He says, then you'll buy a bigger boat. You can go further out into the ocean. And then what? Then you can go out into the ocean with your great boat and catch bigger fish and sell them on the bigger market, not just in your local village. He says, oh, it sounds interesting. What should I do then? So he says, then you'll be able to take partnerships with a great big boat with big nets. And you'll be able to export it around the world. And then what? Then you have much more money, and then I'll come into partnership with you. We'll come halves. I'll invest with you, and then what will I do? Then you'll be much wealthier, you'll be able to buy a house, you'll be able to invest, the business will go into the stock market, we'll be canning the fish and selling it across the globe. You've got to have ambitions. So it sounds interesting. And then what will I do? So then you'll be able to take early retirement. What will I do then? You'll be able to walk on the beach with your senora. You'll be able to go earlier home and play with your children. And then you have early barbecues for supper. Now, this is not necessarily advice for life. It's just a story they say. And I have to share with you at the same time, that it was a few years ago, I was talking to a very great philanthropist, an American Yid, who told me that he made a business deal that was enough Kanayanahara for the generations to come, for all the moises that he was already supporting to continue, maybe even more generously. It was one big business deal. And he flew to Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to stop working. He wasn't even so young. He wanted to stop working. He has what he needs. And believe it or not, again, it's not advice for life, it's what happened to him. Rabbi Yisrael Gustman spent an entire night discussing the pros and cons and told him to stay in business. So we do have to know there's two sides to the coin. But the point I do want to bring out with this fisherman is that to appreciate what you already have, sometimes we have to just stop for a moment and appreciate the puddles and appreciate what we already have in our lives, because when we realize that Hashem, when we have the knowledge of Hashem's existence, that He's taking care of every detail, that He's all-powerful, which is the lessons that Hashem showed us in such an epic way during Yetzias Mitzrayim, it stays with us forever. And I want to end with sharing you a beautiful story that happened with Moshe Reichman. Moshe Reichman was standing at the Kosel together with Rabbi Elimelech Fira. Moshe Reichman is the great Moshe Reichman. And Rabbi Elimelech Fira, the big Baal Tzedakah, Rabbi Elimelech Fira is the medical genius, referral specialist, and a big medical askan in Bnei Brak. And they're both standing there at the Kosel, and they see an old Yerushalayim Yid, perhaps just over middle-aged Yerushalayim Yid, and he's crying bitter tears at the Kosel. And so Moshe Reichman and Rabbi Elimelech Fira look at each other, and one says to the other, "Let's help him out. If it's financial, I'll take it," says Moshe Reichman. "And if it's medical, Rabbi Elimelech Fira, it's your game." So they go cautiously and they step over to this Yerushalayim Yid who's crying by the Kosel, and they tap him softly on the shoulder. And he turns around, tears in his eyes, and they say, "Is there any way we can help you?" So he says, "I'm fine, thank you." And so Moshe Reichman says, "And let me introduce myself, my name is Moshe Reichman. I have the ability to help you if it's a financial problem, and this is Rabbi Elimelech Fira. He's a medical referral specialist. If it's medical, he has all the connections you need. Just tell us, we'll help you out, we'll cover you." He says, "I'm really fine." They look at each other, they try one more time, they tap him on the shoulder and they say, "We're very sincere about our offer." He says, "I see you're very sincere people, let me tell you something. Last night, I married off my 10th child. And Baruch Hashem, I have 10 children who are married, they have what they need, they're happy. So I came to the Kosel to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for what I have. So I'm crying out of happiness. I'm so grateful to the Ribbono Shel Olam for all that I have." Let us remember the Klal Yisrael, who during Mitzrayim sang the Shira in thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it's Oz Yosher. It's the song of the generations. It's the song that Klal Yisrael sings throughout the generations, thanking Hashem for what has happened to us as a nation, as individuals, and through that we realize that also in the future Hashem will always be there for us. That Hashem should help us always in the future. Amen.
I don't give a compliment to anybody. I'm the very, very good. Very nice.
Are you down or?